Welcome back to another episode of Your Pocket Nurse, a podcast for student and graduate nurses. I would like to acknowledge the Wurundjeri people as the original owners of the land that I am recording on. I pay my respects to elders past, present, and emerging.
Through another episode of Your Pocket Nurse. Today I'm joined by Ebony, a grad nurse who I completed my grad year with last year, and we actually had the same rotation, so we both did pool, just different wards, which we'll get into a bit later. And then we both worked together on cardiology, which was really fun. So I'm excited to sort of like recap our grad year and just sort of about chat about moments which we experienced together, and you know, make people feel less alone because it is a hard year, but you'll get through it and then you'll look back and welcome, Ebony.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining me, even though you're a bit nervous.
I know. Sorry, but no, should be good. It'll be fun.
Yeah, no, it'll be good. How are you going?
Yes, no, I'm good. I'm on a day off, which is always great.
Me too. So good. But then someone asked me to come into work at like 10:30, and I was like, that's a bit too late notice.
Yeah, no, definitely not. And like, days off are just so valuable, and I'm just like, I always look forward to them. So yeah, I never want to go in on my days off.
I know, especially like today's day four, like day off, and you just get in such a routine of being off, and then it's like, oh wait, I have to go back to work soon. So
yeah.
But yeah, so I usually ask everyone three questions just so we can get to know you. So first one is, why did you become a nurse? And if you weren't a nurse, what job do you think you'd have?
Okay, so the reason I became a nurse is a little bit cliche. I just wanted to help people. But to decide that, I actually was an inpatient one time, and the care I was receiving and the people who were looking after me, I just loved. And I thought, wow, I think I could do this and, yeah, be a really good nurse. And so that's honestly why I became a nurse.
Yeah.
But if I didn't become a nurse, I think, well, I always wanted to be a PE teacher. And then in year 12, I was like, oh, I want to be a police officer or a nurse. And I really did actually want to be a police officer, but I wasn't really interested in waiting around to 21 to start my career. So I, you know, got into a nursing degree straight from high school, completed that, and at 21 years old, became a grad nurse. So, yeah.
Are you glad that you, like, went straight into nursing after high school? Like, do you feel like so young?
I feel really young, but I'm like, I look at myself and I'm just like, I am really proud of where I am and how hardworking I am at such a young age. But then I'm like, oh, should I have had a gap year? I feel like either way I would have been happy. But yeah, I always think about that.
Yeah, I also think I wish I knew that COVID was going to like ruin our lives for like 2 years. And then I probably would have done like a big Europe trip or something.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
So we never had like any time really, because you just think, oh, it'll be fine. But then COVID shut us down.
Yeah. And like, I kind of wanted to have a break after like the end of our course, but like, yeah, because of COVID we didn't really get that. So like, you know, as far as we could go if you were lucky was to Queensland, which I did do for a couple of weeks. But
yeah
I would have liked to have gone overseas.
Yeah, I always thought about doing like an August intake and then like Europe a bit before summer, but obviously like I was like, it was COVID. I was like, no, I'm going in January. I'm starting my grad year as soon as I can. So yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
So you are still in cardiology. Yep. Do you think this is the area for you, or do you think there's like another area of nursing that you want to like pursue or eventually work in?
Like, I really do like cardiology, but to progress, you kind of need to do the post-grad, which I am interested in, but it's such a minute field. So I ideally would like to go try emergency just to get a bit more exposure to like lots of different presentations, conditions. So I think hopefully I will do that. But also I would like to be an educator one day. So ideally, whatever field I end up in, I will be an educator.
Yeah, nice. I feel like, yeah, emergency is like such a good area to sort of like learn heaps of different skills because you're like constantly presented with like so many presentations. And like my friend just went to ED and she's so surprised by how much autonomy they have. Like they can order bloods and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Like I know that doesn't seem like too big, but like it's pretty cool. It is. Like, you know, they work, she says they work so much more closely with the doctors. Although I feel like in cardiology, we worked really closely with the doctors and, you know, the residents are often like asking nurses, like, you know, what should we do about this? Especially like the senior CCU nurses, because residents like rotate every 3 months. So like when they start, it's always bad, you know, because like, you know, the poor things, they don't know like much about the specialty and, you know, so they do rely a lot on the nurses. So I think that's cool. Like working in the multidisciplinary team.
Yes. No, cardiology is actually really good for that. And the residents we have on at the moment, I just love them. They're so like fresh and they're like, what do you think? And I'm like, hey, I'm asking you.
Oh, yeah. No, it's nice because I feel like on my ward now, the residents are never around, you know? Yeah, like they hide away from the ward. Whereas in cardiology, they sit there all day.
Yeah.
So, like, it's so easy. Like, you just go up to them and ask them a question, or you can say, hey, can you just check this, like, groin? I think it's, like, got a bit of a hematoma. You don't have to, like, wait for, like, a response. So,
yeah, and I feel like it's actually been really good for my confidence, like, as a grad, having the residents around, like, building up my confidence to go and ask a question, even though it might be a silly question.
Yeah.
Like, you know, as a grad, you're always nervous to escalate things and you're overthinking it like, oh my God, is this a silly thing to say? But like, if you just go to their face and you're like, hey, look, I'm not sure, but can you let me know what you think about this? And they're most of the time like so good about it.
Yeah, exactly. So it's good. Residents like can either be like, really, really helpful, or they can reply to your messages.
Yeah.
So what has been your favorite clinical experience or moment, whether it be on placement or at work?
I really like, I feel like I cannot like pinpoint a great experience, which sounds so stupid, but I think what I really enjoy most is when patients go like, you know, give me feedback and they're like, oh my God, thank you so much for finally explaining that. You know, they've just like a lot of doctors have come in and they've said this and that, but I just had no idea. Mm. And like, I really enjoy feedback like that because I just feel important, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like I've done something good to make them feel better. But yeah, otherwise I don't really have a great clinical experience.
Yeah. I feel like it's good when you get that confidence and you can educate patients. I think that was like my favorite thing about cardiology.
Yeah.
It's like once you understand like how angios work and, you know, pacemakers and stuff, like you can really like tell your patients, you know, this is what you have to do and what you have to look out for and come back to hospital if this happens and blah, blah, blah. And
yeah.
Yeah, I feel like you feel really, like, on top of things when you can educate your patients about that.
Yeah, definitely.
Whereas I'm still, like, now I feel like I'm back to square one because I'm still getting used to the specialty of, like, vascular and I barely know anything about urology because I just haven't been allocated those patients.
Oh.
And I just feel like I don't know what to say to them.
I know, but, like, we all start like that, especially when you go from specialty to specialty. Like, at the start, you, like, have no idea. But then by the end, you're like, oh, my God, I know this, I know this, I know this.
Yeah. And I, like, also think, like, a cool moment that we both had was when we saw, like, conscious V at work.
That was something else. I can't even explain. We were both so overwhelmed. I think everyone on the ward was overwhelmed.
It was like the most, like, I think it's like the most scariest thing I'd ever seen, like just looking into the patient's eyes and their face, and I was like, what is going on? And at the time I didn't know what was happening to the patient, and you know, I remember I ran and like got GTN spraying because I was like, is this patient having chest pain? And I remember I like run back to the patient, I'm like, open your mouth, and I do the sprays of GTN. Because I was like, no one knew yet, and we were like in the middle of calling it, and you could just see the patient was like like couldn't get any air in, like they looked it was so really unwell.
Scary. He was the patient was sitting upright, gasping for air, so red in the face, just so sweaty. And Melina and I are looking at each other like, what do you do in this moment?
Yeah. And I feel like it's so lucky that we have CCU nurses because they are so on top of it. And then, like, you know, we did a 12 lead ECG and then like all the doctors came in, like there was so many people in that room. I'll never forget it.
Like, no, that I've never seen a room with that many people in there. Like, seriously.
Yeah. It was interesting. Like, it was a good learning experience. And then, like, we ran and, like, checked out morphine from the DD cover. And we're like, we'll sign the book later because it was, like, an emergency. We quickly got it out. We quickly counted it. And, went back.
Yeah, he was in excruciating pain. And, like, it was a code blue at that point. So you can just kind of, you know, count the drugs and, like, sign later because we didn't even know what his last name was or patient ID, really, because he wasn't our patient. So.
No.
Yeah, we did follow that up later, though.
No, it's all good, guys. We did the right thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that I feel like that was a cool experience we both had. Yeah, it was nice, like, working with you, with our friends and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, and then you can sort of, like, then I remember then we, like, called each other and debriefed. So I think, like, it's so important to debrief because I feel like sometimes, like, people don't like maybe senior staff sort of assume that you're okay and they've seen it before and they've worked for like 30 years and you know this isn't their first VT, whereas for us we were like traumatized.
Literally.
So like I feel like it's important to speak up if you need to like debrief with like someone senior, but like chat to someone else that was present there and just talk about how you feel.
Or even just someone who's in the like a similar field who's had, like, you know, not the exact same experience but something similar and who can kind of just relate to you. I think that's definitely a bit of advice that I would give to any grad or any student nurse. Things can be confronting and you can't, you know, you can't deal with it all the time by yourself. So always find someone to talk to.
Yeah, and I find sometimes even, like, after, like, a really bad met call or something, it's like nice like sort of chatting to like one of like someone that you trust and that's like had a few more like years ahead of you in nursing, and you know they can sort of like reassure you that like what you did in that moment was like the right thing and like sort of talk you through like what was going on, because sometimes like it's everything happens so fast that you don't really even understand like what's going on because like other people are taking control in the situation and you're just like gobsmacked at what's happening. So going back to the start of our grad year, like what were your awards during your rotation, and like can you tell us a bit about them, like sort of like skills, maybe like some patient presentations, and which one was your favorite?
Okay, so I also had a surgical cluster, so we both had surgical clusters but went to very different wards. So I went to trauma and plastics, so that was a lot of motorbike accidents, car accidents, would you say, like lots of injuries basically. Sometimes, brain injuries as well, which was very sad to see. You know, spinal precautions, patients going off to theatre to have all different types of surgery. So lots of post-op things there. Also went to ortho, which was very similar. Lots of bone fractures as well. And like on those wards, a lot of important skills that I learned were like things like PCAs, pain management, lots of time management on that ward because, you know, a lot of the patients aren't able to mobilize by themselves. So lots of care happening there. I also went to emergency general surgery. So it's not really what it sounds like. It's more like things like abdominal trauma, appendicitis, like people with gallstones, and they go off for to theater as well and then come back with, you know, things like drain tubes and stuff. So that was really cool to learn as well. And then I went to hepatobiliary and colorectal, which was basically very similar, that they were like sister wards. And then I also had aged care thrown in there, which was it was a good change of scenery, to be honest. And I really enjoyed looking after the patients there. Got my ADL skills up as well, but they were lovely.
I feel like time management too, because was it a different patient ratio?
Yeah, it was 1 to 5, I think, nearly every shift I had there. So, and you know, a lot of the patients can't get out of bed by themselves, shower themselves, feed themselves. So, they're like different time management skills that I had to think of compared to, you know, lots of post-ops.
Like aunties and all
yeah,
that.
Oh, so yeah. So many IV aunties. And even just doing a DD check, like, you know.
Oh, it takes so much time, especially if every single patient has DD.
Yeah, literally. And then, so, like, you get the ones that are, you know, the scheduled ones out, but then, you know, someone presses their buzzer and they're in pain. So then you got more on top of that. And I felt like I spent half my time, you know, chasing someone down. Who's got the keys? I need a check.
Yeah. I know. It's always like, I feel like it's so hard to find keys. The other day, one of the nurses went down to ICU to do something and she took the keys with her.
Oh, no.
And all our, like, literally all the nurses on the ward needed a check and we were, like, calling her on her phone because we really needed the keys back. Mm. So always check your pockets before you go on break or definitely. Before you go home even, because, like, I think some people have gone home with the keys.
Yeah. Once I went home without signing the book and I was like, they called me and I was like, oh my God, like I just got home. And they're like, you're going to have to come back tomorrow and sign that off. I was like, okay, I'll do that.
Oh my God. Yeah.
But in terms of my favorite ward, I'll have to say like trauma and plastics was like, it was the hardest, but the best. I've never learned so many skills. And like, I didn't actually touch on like the plastic side. So, you know, patients having skin grafts and also flaps done. So like, you know, we also had head and neck patients. So patients with like cancer in the throat. So, you know, they have to cut out a whole section, take a flap from somewhere else and put that back in. So you had to do extra competencies to look after those patients. So did that, upskilled myself. And yeah, it was so cool to look after them as well.
And there's also patients with tracheas there, but did you look after trachea patients or not?
No, unfortunately, because I was in pool and like a pool grad, I didn't get the training because you have to do multiple supernumeraries for that as well. So I'm spewing about that, but that's okay.
Yeah, that's all right. Yeah. So it's like really interesting because I feel like when I first heard about like trauma plastics, I wouldn't think about tracheas.
No, definitely not. I think it's because a lot of trauma patients, they, you know, can't breathe on their own, especially when they also unfortunately have a brain injury. We had a guy that was there for so long and he had a trachea and it's, oh my God, they honestly freak me out. The tracheas, I get so scared. I was like, every time I could hear someone like kind of like choking on their sputum, I'm like, someone needs their tracheas like sucked out. Can you come? I don't know how to do it.
Yeah. Oh gosh. I feel like I don't know if I would like tracheas. I feel like I don't really like sputum. Like,
I know. Ugh. I have to say, like, it is, a lot of the nurses up there say, like, they cannot stand sputum. It makes them, like, feel like gagging.
Well, I think they're on the wrong ward. And, like, speaking more about pool, like, how did you find that whole rotation? Like, did you want pool? Like, how did you feel about, like, did you feel okay that you don't know everything and that, like, you're going around to different wards every day?
Yeah. Oh, gosh. It was, like, I was kind of excited at first, but I don't think I realized how hard it was going to be. Like, it was, I found it really hard, especially transitioning from a student to a nurse in general is hard. I didn't know how to use the EMR system either. So that was a big adjustment. And then just going to different wards, not understanding the patient presentations that much. Like, there's so many words, you know, you're getting hand over and I'm like, what is that? What is that? Yeah. What is that? And then I don't know where anything is on the ward. don't know anyone on the ward. Pardon?
And that slows you down, like not knowing things.
Yes. Like, you know, you can't just quickly go run and grab a pad or, you know, a dressing quickly because you don't know where it is. Or and you don't really know any staff either at the start, which can also be a bit overwhelming because they don't know what you're capable of and not capable of. And yeah, I found it hard. Like, you don't know who to go to, you don't know what people are like, you don't know the ward dynamic. And I think I was also just so task orientated at the start as well. Like, in terms of not really understanding the patient presentations, I feel like I often pushed that to the side and I was like, let's just get obs and meds done. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel like if you do have a pool rotation or you like you desire to do pool after your grad year, or even if you're like doing agency shifts or whatnot, like I feel like you just have to sort of realize that you're not going to know everything and you just slowly pick up on things. But at the end of the day, it's just like you're just trying to keep your patience sort of alive until you know?
Yeah.
It sounds kind of bad, but like I look back now and I'm like, I really did not know a lot, like because no one has the time to really like explain that special procedure or like why are we doing like sort of that or whatever, because like you're gone the next day and you're in a different ward and you know you don't have that patient continuity and blah blah blah, you know.
Yeah, literally one day I was looking after this patient and they were going off for some scan and this I needed like they were in full spinal precautions, so I had so many nurses in there helping me and I didn't even know why they were going for a scan. And this nurse goes, why are they on spinal precautions and why are they going for a scan? And I had like already been so overwhelmed. I think that was my first week and I just ran out of the room. I was like, I don't even know. I don't know anything about this patient. I'm just
like, I don't even know their name.
Yeah. I'm just trying to get things done. And I just ran out of the room and I just started crying. I was like, oh my gosh, I am so overwhelmed. I just like, I felt like the worst nurse. And then I couldn't stop crying either after that. But that happens. And then you get over it and you suck it up and you keep going.
Yeah. I feel like it's very normal. Like, you know, I didn't really understand yet. Like you said, like, why is this patient going for this scan or what's that scan for? Like, you know, or like, why is it indicated for this patient? Like, I know what
yeah.
it's for, but why are we doing it for this patient? Like, I just feel like when you have the time, like, ask questions and try and get answers. But like, at the end of the day, you're just trying to like make it through that shift. So you're just like, you know, you know your basics of nursing, like obs, meds, keep your patient safe, and you know, the rest you will kind of like follow.
Yeah. Well, that's definitely how like the first few months went for sure as a grad.
Yeah, and I think it's important, like I remember I asked my educator, I was like, you know, how am I like, I don't know everything, and she's like, you know, you're going to know a little bit of everything about different specialties, but you're not going to be an expert in any.
Yeah,
you know? Until you choose to stick at one ward, you're not going to know everything.
And I think it's also like, as you know, going from a student to a grad, we all have the highest expectations of ourselves. Like, you know, you I don't know how, but you think you're gonna know everything and you most definitely don't.
No.
So yeah, get rid of that before you start your grad year, because you're definitely not going to know.
Yeah, I know. I feel like even like supernumerary, you think, yeah, like supernumerary is really good, and then you hit the floor on your own and it's just it's completely different, because like you don't realize even on supernumerary your buddy nurse is not actually just sitting on a chair the entire shift and not doing anything. She's still, or they are helping you you know, do things for your patients, even though you're trying to like be independent and whatnot. There's always like someone backing you up when you're like a student or on supernumerary.
Yeah. And I kind of regret that, like not taking more charge in my supernumerary days. Yeah. And just, yeah, I really kind of just stood back, I think also because I was overwhelmed, but I really should have gotten in there a bit more and like utilized the support I had around me before I was on my own.
So what do you wish you did differently?
Well, I'm pretty sure like a fair few of them, and mind you, as a pool grad, we had them all on different shifts, on different wards, which makes it a little bit hard as well. So like there's no continuity there, so you know, you go for the first day on a certain ward, you're with a nurse, and then the next day you're on a different ward, so you feel like, I think I felt like I was just going over the same basics that I did on the first day on the second and third day, instead of being a bit more comfortable and, you know, taking more charge. I felt like I was back to square one on all of those days. So
yeah, I know. Definitely. And I feel like you can never really prepare for supernumerary anyway.
Yeah. The only thing you can do is just ask as many questions as you can. Do not be afraid to ask questions, because, you know, that's how you get through, literally.
Yeah. And I feel like just like every day I will ask a question, even like, you know, even though now sometimes I'm considered like a senior sort of nurse on the floor because it's a junior staff, I'm still only like 1 year out, and you know, I'll still always go to the nurse in charge and be like, hey, like, just want to confirm, like, you know, should I still give like this med before surgery, because like I haven't had to think about that for a while. And they're like, yeah, that's fine. Or like, maybe just double check with the doctor, you know. So like, no matter how senior you are, like, or, you know, I'm not saying I'm senior at all, but, you know, like, just always check, you know, because at the end of the day, it's like you're sort of like registration on the line, and you want to make sure that you're staying safe and like adequately caring for your patients and, you know, advocating for them and doing everything right.
Yeah, well, no question is a stupid question, you know?
Yeah. Do you have any, like, sort of scenarios where you feel like you were, like, unsure about, like, a med or, like, a procedure or something, and, you know, you sort of, like, sort of escalated those concerns?
Well, recently I had a hypotensive patient, which is quite normal on cardiology, to be honest. But just
like 88 sometimes is like sick. That's great.
Yeah, I'm like, that's great. You're 88 today. So I had a hypotensive patient the other day, and that was normal for him, but doesn't mean that you can just, you know, go ahead and go, oh, that's normal. So he had a few medications due, so furosemide, bisoprolol, and another one I can't quite think of, so another antihypertensive. And I wasn't really sure, and there was an educator walking past, and I was like, hey, like, do you think I should give these meds? He's a bit hypertensive. And then that nurse goes, I looked after him the other day, and I gave all the meds, just go ahead and give them. And I just had this gut feeling, I was like, oh, I don't know, he's hypotensive. Like, you know, if I give these three meds, there's a good chance that his blood pressure is going to drop even more. And I think the blood pressure was 90 at that point. Anyway, and she's like, and I was like, oh, I'm really not sure. She's like, no, I looked after him the other day. Just, you know, it's fine, give it. And then I was like, I didn't really know what to do because she's senior. And I was like, okay, just think for a moment. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to be sure, and I'm going to message the doctor. And she's like, okay, and walked off. And instead of messaging, I actually went to the doctor because she was just around the corner. And she kind of like, the nurse kind of followed me. And I just asked, and she's like, oh, no, don't give the furosemide. And I was like, thank goodness I went to the doctor instead of, you know, just doing what a senior nurse told me. And she goes, and because the patient's fasting. And I was like, thank goodness. Like, you know, I was just so proud of myself because it can be so awkward. And yeah, I just finished my grad year, and you know, like, they know that. So they think that they have this power over me. But I was like, you know, it's going to be on me if this patient goes hypotensive even more.
You've got to do what example you can. Because it, like, it happens so often, you know, a senior nurse might be, or even like a doctor might be, a junior doctor might say to you, like, yep, that's fine to give, and you still are like, I don't really think that is fine, like, can you please, like, I don't know, check with your reg, or like, I'll say, I'm gonna check with my nurse in charge, you know. It can go both ways, and sometimes the like nurse in charge will sort of go like above and talk to like the senior doctor or whatnot, because, you know, that's like, that's in our scope of practice to advocate for our patients, and that's what we are as nurses. We are, you know, the advocate between the patient and the doctors sometimes, or other multidisciplinary members. And, you know, at the end of the day, we just need to always you know, do what's best for them.
Yeah, and it doesn't wishes. yeah it doesn't matter how like junior you are an advocate, and sometimes you might advocate and it's like completely wrong, but it doesn't matter because, you know, you just thought you were doing what was best for the patient.
Yeah.
And I might, I was just gonna say, I might add that that nurse came and apologized to me later. So yeah.
No, it's good. Yeah. Because I don't even know what I was going to say, but like worst comes to worst, you know, the doctor or the nurse says, oh yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
But thanks for checking, you know, because that's all we have to do is just say, hey, like, I just want to check. Like, you don't have to say in a mean way, or you don't want them to be condescending or anything, because it needs to be a supportive environment that you feel safe to speak up and not feel like, you know, imagine if they say to you, that's such a stupid thing. Like, why would you ever like say that? And then you're never going to want to speak up ever again. And you probably make a mistake because you don't feel safe to speak up.
And sometimes it's a good learning opportunity as well. Like you ask the resident something and they go, why do you think that? And then, you know, you kind of bounce ideas off each other and they're like, oh, okay. Like, you know, that's a good point. And then it's just all a learning experience. So don't knock it.
Exactly. What else did we want to discuss? How are you feeling in general about completing your grad year? Like, do you feel any different? Like,
I feel like I don't feel different because I stayed on the ward that I was like, I completed my last rotation in. But what makes me feel different is when I have a student now and I'm like, oh my gosh, they're asking me questions and like, and they're actually coming. Yeah, they're coming to me for advice. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. That makes me feel good. And I feel like I just have grown so much. Like when I look back and like when we're talking about the start of our grad year now, I'm like, oh my gosh, that feels like a lifetime ago. And I've just grown so much. It's just insane.
I know, it feels good. Like I sometimes get memories on like my nursing Instagram about like when I've posted about a shift. And today there was this thing and I remember that shift so well because I the patient was like completely fine and then I went on break back and the patient was like in like about to be met called because like, you know, they had all these electrics running and I'm like, what the hell just happened? Because I just posted on my Instagram what a nice shift it was. And then it went crazy.
I know. And like, you got to be mindful. There's a few words you can't say on the ward. The quiet word.
Yeah.
What else is it? This is a nice shift. There's another
one. I'm bored. Like,
I'm bored. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Just never say that. Even one of my patients' family members said that on the weekend. It's really quiet. And I was like, we don't say the Q word here.
I know. Literally, I say that. You're going to jinx us. You can't say. But yeah, I'm glad. It's because Eb started her grad year in Feb and I'm done. So she only just finished like a few weeks ago. She upgraded.
Mm-hmm. A little bit of a pay rise.
Oh, I know. It's actually pretty good.
Yeah, I think it's $3 or $4 an hour.
I know. Very good. I feel like I'm a millionaire already.
Yeah.
Do you like, are you happy with the support of your grad year? Like, without getting into like too many sort of specifics, but like, how like do you feel overall, and how do you think it's best to utilize support as well?
I do think like we were pretty well supported. I think one thing I learned, to be supported, you need to kind of put yourself out there as well. So earlier on in my grad year, I had educators approach me for not asking enough questions and not asking for help. I had like a bit of a mentality that I didn't want anyone to think that I wasn't capable.
Yeah.
So I kind of just like, you know, just did the best I could without, because I didn't want to ask for help and then it looks like I wasn't able to do my job, which was the complete wrong mentality to have, you know, like you can't do everything alone.
Mm-hmm.
So once that happened, oh yeah, I felt so supported, and yeah, I think that allowed me to grow a lot more actually as a person as well. So never be afraid to ask for help. That's one thing. But I think that was the best way that I used the resources we had around us as well. And not only educators, like staff members on the ward, they're probably often the best because they're there all the time. They know what's going on. They know what patient presentations come through the door most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing I do have to say, it's like you can't rely on other staff members a lot of the time because they have their own patient loads. They have things popping up with them, their patients. They could have unwell patients. And, yeah, so definitely utilize paging educators or finding them on the ward because that's what they're there for.
Yeah, that is literally what they're paid to do.
Yeah.
Like to support, you know, students, grads, and general staff as well. Mm-hmm. Like even now, like I'm doing like a like an educational program sort of thing at work anyway, like when I'm transitioning to the new ward. And like, it's just so good, like, because there's two educators that I remember from when I was on the ward previously, and like they're always checking in, like, how are you going? And I'm not even like a grad anymore, and it's just nice to know that you don't have to be a grad to like receive support. Like, the educators are there to help everyone.
Yeah, and students as well, they're always there for students. If you ever, like, as a student think that you're not, you know, getting enough support from your preceptor, don't be afraid to go to educators.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, always ask for, like, feedback, advice. You know, if you have any questions about, like, you know, I remember a few times there was some funky-looking ECGs.
And yeah.
And then all the other nurses are, like, busy doing their thing. So, like, you know, you just
walk down to the
educators' office, and, you know, they might be busy doing something else, and they'll be like, oh, you know, how about, like, you check in after handover and we can go through this ECG.
Yeah.
So just always, like, touch base, but also expect that not everyone can, like, drop everything for you sometimes.
Yeah, exactly.
So just, like, sort of setting realistic expectations.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like other support, I don't know, you're in that Victorian student graduate page?
Yeah, that's a great page. Yeah.
Yeah, I find that's really good. Like, sometimes it's good to just read through and sort of, like, even if you're not commenting on it, it's sort of good to debrief and read. Like, some people might be feeling the same way as you, or, like, you know, they're not enjoying their grad year, or they're really keen for this rotation and want to find out more information. And, like, maybe you've had a experience in, like, a, I don't know, an orthopedic ward, and then you'll comment. And it's just good to, like, build connections, because – like, you never know who you might meet. Like, they might be coming to your ward, you know?
Mm.
It's fun to, like, make friends. And I feel like through my Instagram I've made, like, great friends. I'm actually going out for drinks tonight with some of the Insta nursing girls.
Oh, look out. That's good.
Yeah.
I'm sure there'll be some debriefing happening there.
Yes, 100%. Like, even when we caught up with the girls from the cardiology ward, it was just – so good to just debrief.
Yeah,
like, just chat about how you're feeling, and like, it's good. No one gets you quite like nurses do.
I feel like often, like, you go home and you're trying to tell your family members or your partner something, and they're like, yeah, and I'm like, that's not the response I'm looking for.
Yeah.
This was a big moment, okay?
Yeah, I know. I was telling my partner, like, we were driving to work, and I'd just done a late early, so this was like the morning drive to work, and I was like, actually, like, buzzing. Like, I had to full debrief because, like, I got home late last night and I couldn't, like, debrief
because
it was bedtime. And he was like, how do you have so much energy? And I was like, I've got so much to say about last night's shift, and like, had to get it all out. And, you know, sometimes they don't even have to say anything. They can just listen, because I'm sure if they're not in the medical field, your partner may not understand all the terminology you're using. But it's good to have someone there to listen.
Definitely.
Someone asked, what do you think you wish you knew before you started your grad year?
I don't know. Probably, like, maybe, I feel like you have placements and you think, like, oh, this is, I feel like I thought it was going to be a bit easier, to be honest. So I wish I knew it was going to be a bit harder, but I think I found it hard because of pool. At first. So I feel like not everyone can relate to that, but I think I just wish I knew that I was going to be a bit more out of my depth. I know that sounds really silly, but I think I put myself, like, on a pedestal, like, I was like, you know your stuff, Eb. But really, I didn't. And then I got down on myself for not knowing things as well. So, yeah, I don't really know, actually. What about you?
I don't know, even though, like, I'm obviously sent you all these questions, I, like, I don't know, like, I wish I knew. What do I wish I knew? I suppose I wish I knew that, like, it's going to be okay. Like, some shifts are, like, really tough, and I was, like, so scared at the start of my grad year. Like, I was just, like, so scared, because I was like, these are people's lives in the hands of a 20-year-old, and then I turned 21 and I'm like, in a 21-year-old, you know, like, it's crazy. Like, I feel like a child still sometimes, you know, and I am responsible for, you know, someone's loved one's life in a way. So My partner's mum is a nurse, and she was like to me, right, like, what are you most scared about? And I was like, you know, that someone dies on my watch. And she's like, well, that's not really realistically going to happen. You know, like if they start deteriorating, what are you going to do? You're going to call a Met call or a Code Blue, or you're going to escalate your concerns. She said, like, you know, someone's, you know, I'm sure like this might have happened, but no one's going to just like instantly die.
Yeah.
Like, there would be things to look out for. And that's what, as nurses, we're constantly assessing our patients, and you're looking out for things and deterioration. So you're going to escalate those concerns. So that made me feel better, because I think that's what I was scared most about.
Yeah.
Is death. And going to jail or something dramatic like that.
I think actually, like, you know, when you have your first like super high blood pressure, or, you know, someone's really tachycardic, I think I just wish I knew just to be calm. Like, why are you freaking out? You know, or just even be a bit more confident. Press the staff assist button. You know, if you're really that concerned, like, I think the first time I pressed the staff assist button, my hand was probably shaking because I was so nervous that someone was going to be like, why on earth did you press that? But no one really does that. They're like, are you okay? What's going on?
Yeah.
So I think I wish I knew that, like, it's okay to, you know, press that buzzer. Like, they tell you just press it, but you really don't want to.
Yeah.
I know that sounds really silly, but it's true. Like, I honestly, like, still, even now when I go to press it, I'm like, are you sure you want to press this? And I'm like, yeah, you do. You need help.
Yeah. I remember the first time I pressed the assist button. It, in hindsight, I shouldn't have pressed it because it was very silly. But I was just very stressed. And
yeah,
the thing, just press it if you're not sure. But, like, now that I've, like, learned, I know that I probably could have, like, managed it on my own. But, like, it was at rehab, and this patient was just sitting in a chair, and they, like, I don't know, she was hyperventilating, just very, like, stressed, and she was all like, I can't breathe. And I was like, oh, she can't breathe. And I was all like, oh, my God. But, you know, she was okay. You know, she was just having a panic attack sort of thing.
Yeah.
But, like, obviously, so I pressed the button because this had literally been, like, my first week solo. And I was so worried because this patient is telling me they can't breathe. So I press the button, they come. Then, like, the nurse has, you know, says, all right, like, you know, we'll do a set of bobs, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, they were okay.
Yeah,
and
exactly. Have a look at
PRNs, and she has some, like, Ventolin. So we gave some of that, and, you know, gave TLC, and she, you know, talking and tender loving care. That's what TLC is.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is. You know, and in hindsight, I probably could have managed that on my own, because the patient wasn't like blue, they wasn't like looked hypoxic or anything. But it's okay to press the button, because no one had a go at me. No one said to me, oh my gosh, did you press the button for that? You know, people ran in to help me, and they were like, you know, do that next time you feel like you need help and you're worried about a patient. And eventually your clinical knowledge and judgment will improve with time. Like, it just takes time. You can't wake up overnight and be like amazing at that. But just always press the buzzer, even if you think it's silly. And even if, like me, in hindsight, I look back and think, oh, I probably shouldn't have pressed it. But there was nothing bad that came of it.
Anything,
I just had all these people to help me with something quite simple.
Yeah, exactly. And at the end of the day, the, you know, help is coming when you press it. So it eases your mind a bit and you feel a little bit better. But even, I think, when you get your first high blood pressure or, you know, something like that, panic instantly just sets in.
Mm-hmm.
I think I wish I knew, take a deep breath, you know, do it on the other arm, you know, or something like that. I literally would just run out of the room and be like, you know, my patient's blood pressure is 210. What do I do? Like, you know, just freaking out.
Yeah. And you'll just like learn things, like, you know, now, like when my patient is hypertensive, like, you know, you look out for other sort of signs, like, ask if they have a headache, any pain.
Yes, exactly.
Are they symptomatic of it? And then, you know, you'll message the doctor and say, patient, blood pressure, blah, 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 like asymptomatic, nil headache. Because I think if your blood pressure is so high, it can like increase your intracranial pressure. And that like is associated with headaches and stuff as well. So I think that's why we sort of ask them if they have headaches.
But just looking at the patient as a whole, not just a number, like we all just tend to like freak out over numbers, which often are very important, but you got to look at the patient as a whole. Like Mel just said, like, do they have a headache? If they have a headache, maybe we do need to escalate it a bit quicker. But if they don't feel, you know, anything at the time, like, you know,
And what are their other numbers doing? You know, are they like,
yeah,
just, yeah, looking at the whole picture. And like, you sort of learn, like, you know, now if that sort of happens to me, I sort of say to the doctor, like, do you want to give like some GTN patch? Do you want to give like amlodipine? Like, you sort of like learn what the next sort of steps are, you know.
But that takes time for sure. Like, honestly, I only got confident with that kind of, you know, mentality.
I think cardiology helped me with that.
Yeah, definitely. But in the last 2 months, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And even like, okay, hypos still scare me because I haven't had many hypos, and then it happens and I'm like, oh, what do I do again?
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, once you get comfortable with sort of something happening, you sort of learn about what you should do next. But then when you have something completely different come up, you're like, what do I do again? You know, and you just sort of like, you know, feed that back with another nurse and, you know, find out what you should do.
Mm. And you'll find over time, like, from going from one rotation to the other, you take your skills from that rotation to another one, and you'll just be so surprised with like how much you know. And you just change as a nurse as well. Like, certain things don't freak you out anymore that might freak out other nurses because they've never seen it.
yeah, definitely. Like, I've learned so much during my grad year, and I think like, it's just amazing how much, like, every day we learn something, you know. The other day, my patient, like, I was going to give a medication to them, and they were like, this medication shouldn't be given on an empty stomach. And I was like, oh, okay, sorry. Like, I didn't know that. Like, you know, but, you know, the patient knows themselves. They know what their regular meds are. And, you know, now I know next time, like, this medication should always be given with food, you know. So you just learn, and, you know, that's why it's really important to like tell your patients what medications you're giving before, because most of the time they take these meds at home anyway. So it's good. Next sort of thing is like, how do you like approach tasks with senior nurses who are willing to cut corners?
I feel like this can be really, really hard, especially as a student, and a grad. I think what approach I found was best, especially as a student as well, because I feel like as a student I took so much in and I knew what, like, kind of the best, I don't know if it's policy, like the policies for everything kind of thing. Like, you know, we always, you know, you don't want to do anything wrong as a student that might make you fail. So you're good at your hand hygiene before, you know, touching a cannula or things like that. So I found the best thing to do is kind of like act a little bit dumb, like, you know, use your like junior, like, because they're senior, you don't want to offend them, basically.
No, and you don't want to cause problems
for yourself. Yeah, exactly, well. Especially if you're going to be working there for a while. So I kind of just go, oh, you know, once another nurse did it like this, is that the way you're supposed to do it? Instead of being like, I think you're doing that wrong and that's not what the policy says.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I know it sounds a bit silly, like acting dumb, but you should be like, oh, like, I thought we have to do it this way. And then they'll be like, oh, yeah, let's do it that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You really don't, like, you don't want to offend or piss off senior nurses because they can come back to bite you depending on how mean they are. You know, you can have great senior nurses that were like, oh, is that a new, like, is that, you know, because us grads, we only just graduated, we know, we got taught, you know, the most recent clinical practice techniques, and, you know, nurses who have been nursing for 20 years, you know, they might draw up their saline. I think this is one of the newest things, straight from the little, it's not a vial, the little plastic thing.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's called. But now, you know, we have to use a drawing up needle to do that. So I think, yeah, if you just go, oh, I swear we're supposed to do it with a needle, or, you know, I thought we were supposed to flush before giving that medication. And you just like, say it in a kind of dumb way, and then it's not as rude and abrupt.
I know, because sometimes, like, even if you're not trying to sound like rude or anything, I know it just, it sounds kind of bad, like acting dumb or something, but I don't know, I just feel like on placement, like, nurses can be really rude, and you don't want to fail because you're trying to do the right thing, but they don't like the tone, you know. It sounds awful, but like, sometimes you kind of just need to like you know, act really nice or like, you know, whatever, and just so you don't fail. I know that sounds bad, but always escalate it to your university and the educators.
I was just gonna say, definitely.
Highlight whether like they're doing something wrong or they're treating students badly, because you know the educators, the manager and university need to know whether that facility and that ward is like good for students or not, or whether someone needs a talking to. But I don't think it's necessarily, you know, your place as a student to like pick up that fight. Like someone else should do it.
Yeah, definitely. So I think that would be my bit of advice. Or even just being like, oh, I thought we did it this way. Let me go ask the nurse in charge and quickly run out, you know?
Yeah, I think that's like, let me just check. I think it all comes down to the way you say it. Like, I think if you just say it in like a, I just want to check sort of thing, rather than like, you're doing this wrong.
Yeah.
Then, you know, you'll get a different response.
I think a student said something like that to me the other week, and I was like, I kind of just looked at her in the face like, did you really just talk to me like that?
Yeah, I know. It's all about how, like, we talk to others, I feel. And because, like, nursing is all about communication, and that's the skill we have to learn, is how to communicate with others with, like, respect. And, yeah, you pick up mistakes, but you have to say it in a respectful way.
Yeah, exactly. Rather than
attacking, you know?
Yeah.
And going on that as well, like, how do you sort of deal with staff members that can be dismissive or impatient with you as a student and a grad as well?
I feel like, I think people need to realize that we are all adults. Like, yeah, I might be junior, and yeah, I am quite young, but I am an adult. And I think everyone just kind of needs to realize that, you know, you can't talk to me like that. But when people are, I don't really know when people are being dismissive, I kind of just be like, okay, like, agree and just walk off, because I don't want to, again, cause confrontation. But I know one of our friends had a kind of a bit of a dismissive, like, someone senior was being a bit dismissive to her recently. And I said to her, that is not okay. And it was quite bad, actually. But and I said, you need to go speak to the manager, otherwise I will. And she did. And only good outcomes have come from that. So if you don't want to, like, you know, talk to that person face to face and say, the way you're talking to me is not appropriate, then escalate it.
Yeah. And, like, people can be dismissive and impatient with you even if you're a senior nurse. Like, I remember like about a story in the break room, and about like one of the CCU nurses, like, who is very, very experienced, and a doctor was like extremely rude to them. And you know what, in that moment she stood up for herself and she said to them, like, you can't speak to me like that, you know. And I think it obviously comes with time to be able to stand up
exactly
for yourself. But like, no one, you feel small or insecure because you're there to work and not to feel shit, you know.
Yeah, and I think for students, like, if their nurse is being a bit impatient with you and just dismissing you, just go, hey, this is my, you know, if it's your last placement, hey, this is my last placement before my grad, and I just want to learn as much as I can. So, you know, if you're willing, can I please do everything? And then that way, at least you've let them know how you're feeling. Because if you don't let, you know, people know, then how, like, literally, how are they supposed to know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And I think sometimes, like, unfortunately, like, even if, like, you want to do everything as a student, sometimes, like, time and patient, like, safety comfort has to come first. Like, you know, I had a student with me, and, like, you know, she was doing great and, like, doing everything, and she was off doing, like, a task on her own, and this patient really needed these bloods to be taken. And, of course, I would love for her to practice taking the bloods, but, you know, these would sort of, like, time sensitive. Like, I sort of needed to get them done now, and, like, she was busy doing something else. So, like, I did them quickly, and then, you know, later I touched base with her and said, like, hey, sorry, like, I ended up having to do that VBG. Like, I would have loved for you to do it, but, like, I just really needed to get it done because, like, you know, the patient needs it. Like, at the end of the day, these are people's lives, even though we're, like, practicing learning skills. Sometimes, like, things need to happen, like, quickly. And, you know, I think it's just about that communication and sort of, you know, knowing why maybe your buddy nurse, like, just ended up doing that thing that you were hoping to do.
It might be
for an alternative reason, not because they don't think you're capable or they don't want to let you do it. It's sometimes things just get in the way.
Yeah, definitely.
And finally, any general gradia tips? I feel like we've spoken about lots of tips.
Yeah.
Someone asked specifically if you've got any ideas about, like, learning, like, patho and, like, diagnosis and things like that, and, you know.
I think one thing I did early on, especially when I didn't really know what was going on with my patients and I was being a bit task orientated, I'd write down some conditions like that I hadn't heard of throughout the day, and I would go home and learn them and like mentally link them with the patient.
Yeah.
So you can see, like, you know what the presentation of the patient, and then you can link that condition with them. I think that's good for, like, pathophysiology stuff.
Yeah, I think that's – yeah, I did the same, like, write things down because, yeah, sometimes your shift is really busy and you can't just, like, quickly Google it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you might have, like, a spare minute you can quickly just Google. But, like, to really get into the depth of it, you can't sit and watch a YouTube video on shift when you've got to do a dressing or whatnot. You know, in touch base with your educators. But if you're working on, like, one specialty ward, that most likely, like, you're going to recur.
Yeah, exactly. You'll get it.
Come. Yeah, I remember when I first, like, learned about SCAD. Have you had any SCAD patients recently?
No, not recently. I've had one the whole time. Yeah.
Yeah, I had two in a good space of a month. Like, for anyone who doesn't know, what does it stand for? It's spontaneous coronary artery dissection.
Yeah.
There we go. And it's so cool. Like, I remember, if you're listening to this, look it up. I also have done a post on it before because I was, like, learning about it. And I was like, this is so cool. I'd never heard of it before. I'm like, I'm going to, like, post it. But, yeah, like, I went home and learned about that because you will come across, like, really unique procedures or diagnosis, and you'd be like, I've never heard of that, like, never learned about that at uni. And there's heaps of random conditions that are very unique and very rare. So if you do come across them, it's like, well, cool, you came across that, but you might not see it again.
Yeah, definitely. But only other bit of advice would be, if you, like, if your gut is telling you something, like, it's probably accurate, you know. We are junior, but once you get that feeling, you know, escalate it and just see how it goes. You know, let someone else know, bounce ideas off each other. Even if it was nothing, you had a feeling and you escalated it. You don't want to have a feeling and not escalate it and then something happens to the patient. Yeah.
Just trust yourself.
Yeah.
You know? Even though you're, like, new, you know, you still, like, we still have a gut feeling, and you know if something is wrong, and you know your patient will know if something is wrong, and they will tell you, like, I feel, like, really, really unwell, like, I don't know what's going on, but I feel really not good. And just, you know, investigate that further, like, ask them more questions, and then escalate it and say, like, this patient, you know, feels, you know, unwell, and listen. And I feel like, even though I don't really have lots of PEDS experience, but I feel like so important to listen to parents, because parents know best about their children, and if they feel like something's wrong with their parent, with their child, like, really listen to them and, like, why they think that's wrong.
Yeah, I actually think you touched on something really good there. Like, your patient is actually the best resource. I think often I've you know, gone out, like, with a, say, a low blood pressure, and then I go out to someone and let them know. They're like, well, are they symptomatic? Are they dizzy? And I'm like, oh my God, I didn't even ask. Go back in. Like, utilize your patient. They, you know, you need to ask questions to the patient to find out more.
Yeah. And, like, I remember I had this patient that hadn't opened their bowels for, like, 4 days or something. And I was like, oh my God, we need to do some stat appearance right now.
Yeah.
And then I asked the patient, like, is this normal for you? Always ask, is this normal for you? Like, have you experienced this before? And they will say to you, yep, I open my bowels, like, once a week at best because of blah, blah, blah reason. And then you're like, oh, okay. Like, still let the doctor know, like, you know, this has happened, but this is normal for the patient, just so it's sort of, like, FYI'd it and you've, like, alerted the medical team. But, yeah, always just ask, is this normal for you? Is this not normal? And you'll learn so much from them.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I just feel like with meds, that's also popular. But that all just takes time. to learn.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, like I've had a patient recently, he's unfortunately represented like 3 or 4 times. He just can't stay out of hospital, which is really sad. But he was having these huge postural blood pressure drops. So like his blood pressure would laying down would be like 200. And that was normal for him, like seriously. And then he went to the toilet and he goes, I feel really dizzy. And I was like, oh, okay. Lay down, did blood pressure, 200, stood up. It was 100. Like it was insane. And then after, so time went on. And then his blood pressure during the day goes like 140. We did another postural blood pressure and it was like 69, I think, or 70. And I just left it on our cardiac monitors, the low blood pressure, and the consultant was around. And this resident comes running down to me. What's going on with this patient? What's with this blood pressure? And I was like, oh, it's only a postural blood pressure. Like he feels fine. Like the actual blood pressure when he's sitting down is this. Anyway, the consultant comes down. And I was so scared because I was like, what an idiot. I left that on the screen. Like they think I'm so stupid. But they had restarted this patient on a medication which the patient wasn't aware that they restarted him on, but it causes him huge postural drops.
Mm.
And like if the doctors had have just discussed that medication with the patient, he wouldn't have been put back on it.
Yeah.
And I was like so frustrated for him because it just stuffed up everything. And like if they had have just said to him, hey, we're going to put you on this, he would have been like, no, please don't do that. Like I get postural drops and I, you know, get dizzy and I pass out, which is just another problem as an inpatient. Falls. Yeah.
Yeah, no, good example. Like,
yeah,
everything can happen and always just check with your patients because they know best.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
But thank you so much for joining me. I feel like this was a good chat.
Thank you. I feel like I rambled a bit there. Too many examples. Sorry.
But it's good. I feel like that's what I loved most as a student is when your tutor or lecturer like brings in like examples from work and it's like, oh, this is what it's like, you know?
Yeah.
It's good. And I feel like sometimes you can only sort of say something with context with an example. Yeah.
I know, especially like to students, like everything needs to be explained properly, you know, with an example, like you said, otherwise it's, you just don't get it. I'm such a like visual learner. Like if I read things, I don't get it. But if I see something happening, link it together, then I'm good.
Yeah. Amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It's been really fun.
Thank you.
Everyone listening, could get something out of this episode and learn something and realize that it's okay and it does get better.
Yes.
It's hard at the start and time management and everything takes time, so just be kind to yourself.
And good luck.
Yes, good luck. All right, bye
bye.